Hello?
Congressman Wilbur Mills.
Hello?
Good morning, Mr. President.
Well, I didn't want to miss the opportunity to tell you that that was really a wonderful job on that HR-1. And I was just delighted you came through. I know the final vote, of course, was so big. I looked at the paper, and then I saw the other vote. But you really, well, it was really 47 on the critical one, was it?
Yes, it was.
Well, that was a little more than I thought you'd get. I was some of our boys thought you were down to 20.
Well, Jerry Ford thought that too. I told Jerry all the time I thought we'd get between 35
right.
and
well,
depending on how many of our folks were there.
It was a great job. Now let me ask you this: anything, and I would like to know that anything you feel that I can do on the Senate side, where, as you know, we have our pitfalls, I will be glad to work. Now, naturally, I'll be in touch with Russell and Bennett and so forth as the thing develops. But you know the moves there better than anybody else. If you'll just let me know,
I'll sure do it.
What is your anticipation? When do they think they'll bring it up?
They begin the hearings right after we get back in July, so Russell says.
Well, at least they have a pretty good chance, Wilbur, it seems to me, to get through before the end of the year.
Oh, certainly they do.
Do you?
Certainly they do.
It isn't like last year when it came so late, huh?
If they'll just keep moving, if they'll just not lay it aside.
Yeah.
I read in the paper where he said he thought he'd have it on the floor of the Senate in November. Well, now, that's beyond the time that Mike and Carl have in mind for the Congress to stay in session, even.
Okay.
I think it might be well to get him and Bennett down and just talk to him.
All right. I'll do that.
Didn't he tell you, as he told me, that we separated this 10%?
Yeah.
Early.
Yeah.
That he'd see to it that the Senate had a chance to vote on this proposition.
He did, yes.
I'd remind him of that. I'm going to remind him of it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's what you've done.
He made a speech in Louisiana just prior to the time I was down speaking to the joint session. Maybe the night before, in which he blasted the devil out of it as being nothing but a guaranteed annual wage.
Yeah, I know. He's on that kick. And, of course, he'll want to put in a stronger work requirement. That doesn't bother me.
No, that doesn't bother me.
Why
don't you face him with this proposition? Call it whatever you want to.
Yeah.
But say it's a guaranteed annual wage. It's different from what we've got. We've got a guaranteed annual wage now for people to remain in idleness, but this is a guaranteed annual wage to work.
Very good point. That's a very good point. That really is the difference, isn't it? One is you guarantee it for them to remain in idleness, and the other is it's a guaranteed wage if they work.
That's right.
But only if they work.
Let me ask you just call.
Right.
No matter.
Sure.
This involves a friend of yours and mine. But Governor Reagan has been so far away from you and me on this deal.
Yeah, I know.
Do you think it would be helpful if I'm not going out for politics, but if I went, I had an invitation from the legislature of California to speak to a joint session on welfare.
Good.
Explain to us what it means to California.
Good.
Well, do you think that would be helpful to our program?
Sure. I think it would. I think that, of course, this will bring a sort of a direct deal right with him, but that's perfectly all right.
I don't need to mention his name.
Yeah, no. You can go out and say you really respect his views. You're glad to see that he has taken such strong leadership, you know, to get this rolls down out there, that it's a major problem. You hope to work with California and so forth. Heck, I think it never hurts a bit. And particularly if you can do it and then have a good talk with him. That's the main thing. He's showing, because he's got chapter and verse, you know, on stuff that he doesn't like. And he's a very decent fellow. And he's a real gentleman, and I think it'd be worthwhile.
You better be watching him.
Huh?
I say you better be watching him between us.
Okay.
Don't go overboard now.
Okay. All right.
And while I've got you.
Yeah, sure.
Don't pay any attention to what you read in the papers. I wouldn't have that job of yours if you'd give it to me.
Yeah. Well, look.
I know too much about it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I appreciate that. I was telling somebody the other day, just for your information, and don't let it go here. They asked me about, of course, I didn't ever say anything politically, but I was saying, you know, that there are really only two fellows, and of course, I won't get into the domestic issues with anybody, but there are only two fellows that the people that have been mentioned on the other side that could handle the foreign policy, and one is you and the other is Jackson. You know what I mean? It seems to me, Wilbur, that made it clearly, this whole business, we know, I'm not asking you to get into it, but this whole business of the way they're handling these secret papers and so on, and the way too that Johnson's people are ratting on him, and it's just unconscionable. You know, I had my differences with Johnson on a political basis, but damn it, he's a former president of the United States. This son of a bitch, Ellsberg, he's a left winger who apparently carried all these papers out. He's much further left than McNamara was on the thing, and then what the papers are printing are his views about Johnson. Now that's they talked about McCarthy. This is worse than McCarthy.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't you think so?
Absolutely.
And you know, a lot of course we're getting heat. People say we're trying to cover up. Hell, we're not trying to cover up. We got nothing to cover up. This doesn't involve us. It involves Johnson and Kennedy.
Well, of course it does.
But we got to do it. I think, as you realize, we've got to protect this. We got to protect the security system. I said to a fellow this morning, and you might, if you get a chance, use this sophism. I said, look. First, let's understand this involves actions of the previous administrations, not ours. Second, as far as those the papers are concerned, they were classified by the previous administration, top secret. Third, as far as those papers are concerned, we have an obligation to protect that system, because otherwise we could imperil the ability to govern and the security of the country. Then I pointed this on it. People said, well, a lot of the papers shouldn't have been classified. But then I make this point. Do you realize there were 5,200 original documents in this? Do you realize that a man trying to get intelligence information, if he gets the right paper, one paper is enough to break a code?
Absolutely.
One paper is enough. See, I found all this out in the Hiss case many years ago. That's what it's all about. That's why you have a classification system. So I've taken a strong hand on this thing, and we're going to continue to. We've turned the papers over, as we should, to Mike and to the Speaker, and then they've got to pick up a good committee. It'll be good on your side with Hebert, and on the other
side. They come out tomorrow. I'm going to speak to a Greater New Haven Chamber of Commerce meeting at Bob Jamo, Congressman Jamo's request tomorrow in New Haven.
Yeah.
And there'll be a press question and answer.
Right.
They may bring this thing up. I may throw it out there.
I think you could say this. You could say that the whole thing really gets down to this, that nobody's trying to cover up past history, but we are trying to protect the security of Americans at the present, and also the ability of any administration to conduct foreign policy.
Right.
And there must be some classification. There is probably over-classification, but... And, oh, there's the other thing. You understand, it's a law of Congress, Wilbur, that sets up classification. We didn't set this damn thing up. Now, the second point is, no one, no matter how we dislike the law, no matter how much they're against this war, and a lot of people don't like the war and a lot don't like the law, but no one should put himself above the law, not a newspaper editor or not a worker in the government. If you allow a worker in the government because he doesn't like a war or doesn't like a law, if you say that he has the right to go out and put himself above the law, then you destroy orderly government. Now, that's what you have here, you see. But anyway, apart from that, I do want you to know we've appreciated your help on this, and I'll get a hold of Russell, and I've told incidentally Schultz and the rest we'll continue to try to work out something on that revenue sharing. I know that's a tough one, and
I've been working.
But your proposal is one that I'm going to Chicago tomorrow, tonight, and so I'll see Daly out there, but. It may be that we can work out some modus vivendi there. I mean,
Mr. President, I haven't said anything other than that I could understand that some of our cities have some very acute problems.
Sure.
I have had some difficulty in understanding that the problems in the states are as acute as the cities. And from that, they jump to a conclusion that I want to help the cities and not anybody else.
Yeah.
But that isn't it. If we can figure something out.
Well, look, I told, as a matter of fact, I was meeting last night with Schultz and Connolly on this thing, and I said, look, on this thing, sit down at the proper time and work with you and whoever you'd to work out, of course, with Johnny, and let's work out something where, if we can, that is, that accommodates some of these things. We don't, we aren't, you know, pushing for every jot and tittle. We understand how the thing has to work.
I know you've never been 3 minutes in on it.
Well, we'll, anyway, I'll proceed to get out into the hinterlands. I'm going to Indiana and to Illinois and then back. I'll tell you the other, haven't you found as you go around the country, you get out of Washington, it's a hell of a lot different country.
Oh, my goodness.
Doesn't it make you feel good, though?
It really does.
Wonderful people. I was out, for example, to Oklahoma just a couple weeks ago. Then I was up to Atlantic City. Gee, you see the kids on the street and the folks, and most of the people, Wilbur, they aren't down on this country. They aren't ready to throw in the sponge. Don't you agree?
It's a few people that are talking, and they're talking so loud, the others are not being heard.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Most of them want to be proud of the country.
Absolutely. The most of them are very patriotic, as much so as they've ever been.
Well, good to talk to you. And as I say, now, one thing, I know you never post, but whenever you think there's something I can do on this, you pick up the phone and call me. You understand?
I'll do it.
Because, you know, I use the phone a lot, and whenever your call comes in, I'll take it. But in the meantime, I understand the present thing is, on HR1, I'll work directly with the two top senators. With regard to the other thing, I'm leaving it in the hands of Schultz and, to a certain extent, Connolly, and let them talk to you about it. And
all right.
If something can work out, I'd appreciate it.
All right, sir.
All right. Have a good trip.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.